Good evening. I call to order this June 11th, 2024 meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council. I'm Mindy Rupp, the Mayor of Blair, and I'm pleased that you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting and you are part of the process. I encourage you to participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. I want you to feel as comfortable as possible, and I will do everything that I can to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help us proceed with the meeting, and I ask that you please keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand and I will recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. The city clerk must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak. Please direct your remarks to either me, the city council, or to staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin with a roll call of members.
Hafer?
Here.
Paulson? Anderson?
Here.
Wolf?
Here.
Willis?
Here.
Sandvold?
Here.
Heifel?
Here.
All members present?
Thank you. You'd stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number four, consider approval of the mayoral appointment of James Letcher as council member in Ward 4 to the Council Judiciary and Real Estate Committee, Water and Sewer Committee, and the Transportation Committee. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve of James Letcher as a council member in Ward 4 and to be appointed to the Council Judiciary and Real Estate Committee, Water and Sewer Committee, and the Transportation Committee. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. And now if Mr. Letcher will come up, we're going to have you take the oath of office.
Okay, you can raise your right hand and repeat after me.
Aye.
State your name.
James Letcher.
Do solemnly swear. That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Nebraska.
And the Constitution of the State of Nebraska.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or for the purpose of evasion.
Or for the purpose of evasion.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Perform the duties of a council member according to the law.
Perform the duties of a council member according to the law.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
And I do further swear.
And I do further swear.
That I do not advocate.
That I do not advocate.
Nor am I a member of any political party.
Nor am I a member of any political party.
Or organization that advocates.
Or organization that advocates.
That the overthrow of the government.
That the overthrow of the government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
Or of this state by force or violence.
Or of this state by force or violence.
And that during such time.
And that during such time.
As I am in this position.
As I am in this position.
I will not advocate.
I will not advocate.
Nor become a member of any political party.
Nor become any member of political party.
Or organization that advocates.
Or organization that advocates.
Overthrow the government.
The overthrow of the government.
Of the United States or of this state.
Of the United States or this state.
By force or violence.
By force or violence.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
James. Item number six. Actually, does he need to sign? Is he signed in already?
No, just have to sign in.
Okay. Uno momento, por favor.
This so far is better than Paulson.
Aw, he's not even here to defend himself.
No, maybe not.
He asked if he was going to get any rounding, and I'm like,
we can't, what are we going to put on with lights? Calm down.
We're not using the lights.
I love the lights.
I know, you have told him not to sign in.
Well, that's your light.
That's light.
I never get to use mine anymore.
You're doing both of them.
Both lights.
Motion to the lights.
Same.
We're all good? All right. Item number six, approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion, a second, to approve the consent agenda. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number seven, I will open a public hearing to consider a tax increment financing redevelopment plan entitled Redevelopment Plan for Lion Trail Townhomes Redevelopment Project. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. So this item is a public hearing regarding this TIF application, and then the next item coming up on the agenda will be the actual vote for it. So there is no actual action for this particular one. This is the opportunity for the citizens to be able to get up and talk a little bit about their perspective on this, but let me review it for you very briefly. And then Michael Sands, who's our TIF attorney, will get up and make some comments. Again, this has already been looked at by both the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission's unique role when it comes to TIF projects is to make sure that this particular project is in conformance with the comprehensive plan for the city. And then the Community Development Agency looked at it earlier tonight at 6:30 and voted to approve this as well. Again, focusing primarily on the financial aspects of that. That's also something that you would be looking at as well as just the viability of the project. So again, it's the Lion Trails Townhomes located up here in the northwest corner of town, just off of Nebraska Street. Get a little bit of detail about the units, or about the development. Again, they are looking at doing this in two different phases, a total of 28 housing units, but 16 in the first phase, 12 in the second phase. Habitat for Humanity is going to be building single-family homes on the rest of the area that's in this undeveloped area that does have streets and the infrastructure that is already there. Again, I'm going to allow Michael to talk a little bit about financing, but as he's going to emphasize, you know, because of the unique aspects of rental properties, and especially apartment rentals, they're valued a little bit differently than just the actual construction value of that. Therefore, there's a little bit more limitation that would be placed upon the potential value that could be pulled out through TIF. So as soon as he's done, if you have any questions for me, that'd be fine. But again, ultimately, this is the public hearing piece. No official action required by the council.
Thank you. Mr. Sands.
Thank you, Mayor. Michael Sands, 1700 Farnham Street, Omaha, Nebraska, special TIF attorney for the city. I'll just, again, go over real high level and then may yield my time to the developer and their council because they might have something more interesting and new to say, but happy to answer any questions that you have. So as Phil highlighted, this is a two-phase project. It is mixed use, but with the majority of it being subject to low-income housing tax credits. The first phase would be consist of 16 different units made up of four fourplexes. The second would be 12 made up of three fourplexes. The applicant is asking for $200,000 with respect to the first phase in tax increment financing and $145,000 with respect to the second phase. As Phil alluded to, LIHTC projects are valued differently. So those, you know, those valuations, either a normal market rate project or the amount of TIF that could be generated by it would be probably a little bit higher or considerably higher depending on what the value of those homes would be because LIHTC is based on an artificial cap rate under state statute. So. And as I mentioned at the CDA meeting, LIHTC is very much a very strict adherence government program as opposed to some of the more buzzword type of affordable housing and workforce housing. My understanding is it'll be a 40 year LIHTC period where they would be subject to rent restrictions. All will be rental properties. And I think the most important, part of both this application and the council's determination in general is just the necessity of TIF, which is under page 8 of the plan. And I think the applicant, you know, put it very well in their application, the difficulties in building this type of project, and the gap that needed to be filled by the TIF, and also, as they can probably speak to a little more, LIHTC is a competitive application program, and those projects that receive some sort of public contribution are given preference over others, and TIF does count towards that public contribution. So I prepared the plan, have reviewed the plan to make sure it's in conformance with the community development law, which it is. With that, I'll yield my time, but happy to answer any questions that you have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council Members. Andrew Willis, WILLIS, 233 South 13th Street in Lincoln, on behalf of the applicant. I'll just add a little bit more. I won't go over the things that have been said already, but you know, primarily I want to focus on two things. First, the necessity of TIF, and really, again, looking at phase one and that $200,000 gap, filling that. It says low-income, however, it's mixed use. About 80% it will be subject to the land use restriction agreement, the LIHTC restrictions that require that 45 years of affordable rent. But then about 20% is market rate units mixed in. So we have a mixed use project, but because it's low-income housing, subject to that affordability for that 45-year period, the owner can't increase rent beyond a certain set point. And so when developing multifamily that was unrestricted and didn't have, wasn't subject to Section 42, the LIHTC rules, if it was gonna cost more to build, you would size the rent appropriately to get your return. In this case, that's, you know, you size the rent based on affordability and limitations on meeting AMI, certain AMIs for the population. And then there's the shortfall. So it's still a $10 million build, you just can't charge as much rent. And so that's kind of purpose one and why TIF is necessary to fill that gap. Secondly, because in order to get the credits, it's such a competitive process, this does actually help get the credits. So it's kind of works both ways. And by having approved TIF, it will actually, NYFA will score this project higher, and then it will be more likely to get the tax credits to make everything work. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the third piece of that is those tax credits, the way it works is you get a syndicator to come and invest and buy those tax credits, for simplifying it, and they require certain debt service coverage ratios, and if we don't have this TIF in place, it just doesn't work. It doesn't meet the requirements of the investors who invest in these low-income housing projects who put in the money to get that other $10 million to make it work. So it really, the TIF really is important to this because it is a mixed rate, primarily low income housing project, unlike just market rate apartments. Again, I guess the other, just trying to stress, they will remain rentals. They're subject to those rent restrictions for a 45-year period. So it will stay affordable housing. I know there was some concern mentioned in the Planning Commission public hearing about, well, how do we know these will stay as affordable housing? Well, because that NYFA has a restriction in place and they will enforce it for 45 years. And again, it's a really good project. It's really good to provide this type of housing for the community. The location next to Habitat for Humanity works really well, but that TIF is a crucial piece. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Details on how the TIF will be spent?
Yeah, so the eligible, there is under state statute, a certain number of eligible uses that are defined.
Yeah, typically we use for public infrastructure like streets and sewer and such. And
yeah, right. Exactly. So in this case, it's $200,000. And if you look at Exhibit E, there's over $1.4 million of costs that are in this project that are actually eligible for that. So it won't pay for all of those, obviously, but it pays for the piece that gap that's missing. So, but it's site acquisition is one of them that's under state statutes required. But then
okay.
Grading, site prep, and then infrastructure.
Okay, so digging the holes and putting the sewer lines in are two things that would be
yeah,
part of that.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments from the public? You don't have to come forward if you don't want to.
I'll come as close as I can.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, it is a...
Well, I think that should be fine. That should be awesome. The nurse spray. It slides out all weekend. Lisa Kelly, address is 3348 Adam Street, Blair, Nebraska.
And Lisa, your last name is spelled?
K-E-L-L-Y.
Thank you.
I do have a couple questions, and I know we're still in the fundraising and none of the real details. I live close to the project. The Habitat for Humanities is close to me, is to my heart, because it's a project that I'm working with. My question will be to the council and everything as we get this development. How are these people in low income going to be able to get to the majority of the town? We have issues with the Danum village trying to get people to where they need to go. I'm not talking from my business perspective, I'm talking as a neighbor. So we're talking about low income. Do we know the demographics yet of the target residents? How are they going to get to and from the main part of the town if they do not have their own transportation? Will there be programs associated with this, not just the rentals? Because I do have familiarity with our existing low income areas, and that seems to be a challenge for many people. So I want to make sure that as this progresses, those are being addressed, as well as the tax breaks and all of the programs. TIF is a wonderful thing, but just isolating a group of people farther away from town may not be a great solution if it's not followed up with social programs to back it. And that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I could ask about handicap abilities.
Any other comments from the public? Brenda, do we have any comments in writing? Oh, go ahead.
My name is Connor Bernard, from the NARD, 8551 Lexington, Nebraska. I'm with the developer, Excel Development Group, development on the project. I just wanted to address your question, because we actually do, funny enough, on a lot of our developments, and this one in particular, we are planning on doing monthly transportation services that we provide. It's a little something that we do. So it's just once a month, but you know, it's at least something that the project itself provides, that we have a line item in our expenses, that we do have monthly transportation services, that you know, somebody could go to, you know, if they need to go in town to shop or what have you like that. So we do provide that. So that's just one thing
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the public?
Good evening. Mike Rooks, Gateway Development, address 11961 South 113th Avenue, Papillion, Nebraska, 68046. I know most of you are tired of me keep talking about housing, but the more housing we get up here, the better. This is just the tip of the iceberg of what we really need. When we look at our housing study, we need probably over 300 units. And these 27 units is just the start of what we need. So I'm very excited about this, and I hope we can keep this project moving forward.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Having none, I will close the public hearing. Item number 8. Consider resolution 2024-46 approving a tax increment financing development plan entitled Redevelopment Plan for Lion Trail Townhomes Redevelopment Project.
Again, it's the same item that you just talked about. Yep. Had the public hearing on.
So. Yep.
I'll introduce resolution 2024-46.
Resolution number 2024-46 was introduced by Councilmember Weir, approving the redevelopment plan as recommended by the Planning Commission for a tax increment financing redevelopment plan entitled Redevelopment Plan for Lion Trail Townhomes Redevelopment Project.
Motion to adopt resolution 2024-46 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2024-46 on the Lion Trail Townhomes Redevelopment Project. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 9, Request to appear before the mayor and council by Tammy Brown, 1004 South 16th Avenue, Blair, to discuss changing the municipal code regarding the maximum number of animals allowed per household. Ms. Brown.
Hi, my name is Tammy Brown, B-R-O-W-N, 1004 South 16th Avenue, Blair, Nebraska. It's actually not to increase the amount of animals, because I think is a great number. My question, or my request, is to maybe change one of two ways. Either not do the three dogs and one cat, or have some way so we can have a waiver, and I'll explain why. So we had a fourth dog, or we have a fourth dog, that we rehomed. And after we rehomed him, or her, we got a foster child. And in the process, they brought the dog home. So now that it's foster child is like totally hooked on these dogs. Every time I say anything about rehoming, we have disciplinary problems. And so I think either change that we can have four of one kind of species, or some sort of waiver. I've kind of looked at some other areas around, and even Omaha has like a waiver where you can have more dogs. And I've heard some other stories as I'm doing this, as somebody lost a family member that had a dog, so she ended up with four dogs. No way of getting it. She's not going to get rid of this fourth dog. So, I mean, there's several of us that are looking at fines because we really don't have any choice. I can't. This 12-year-old has lost a lot, and I don't want to lose a dog. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Any council discussion?
Move to forward the request to the Judiciary and Real Estate Committee for further consideration, especially if they're dachshunds.
Actually, they're Shiba Inus.
Well.
So they're only about 20 pounds.
We have a motion and a second to forward the request to the Judiciary and Real Estate Committee. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 10. Consider Ordinance 2531, amending the Blair Municipal Code, Chapter 2, Article 13, and adding Article 14 and Chapter 9, Article 1, in reference to the Board of Appeals. Ms. Ferrari.
All right. Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. For your consideration this evening, we have an amendment to this Municipal Code for two sections. So prior to this, if you approve this, Section 9-103 made reference to a housing board. Well, when we looked at our boards in Chapter 2, we didn't have a definition for the housing board. We had no way of appointing it. We had no determination as to how many people should be on it. And so we made the determination that it might be best to continue on with how we've been modeling our municipal code with the building code, which is the ICC-IBC building code, 2018. So they use a Board of Appeals, and so looking at that, we modeled Chapter 2 Board of Appeals, and that will be added in the Section 13, changing the penal section to 14, and then changing some language within 9-103 to address Board of Appeals, and then also model off of the building code the amount of time they have to appeal and the amount of time that the appeal has to be heard by the board. Any questions?
No, it's easy. This is why you left the city council, so you could do this kind of stuff.
Amen, brother. I'm just curious, what's the difference between this and, you know, what specific issues would this board handle versus the Board of Adjustment? You know, you're just kind of looking for an example.
Good question.
So the Board of Adjustment handles mostly the zoning issues, whereas the Board of Appeals is going to be looking at building code, so footing depth, making sure they're following the requirements in terms of.
So if I want to build my house out of hay bales or something like that and can prove it's okay, this is who would determine that if I had a disagreement with the building inspector.
Yes.
Understood. Okay.
And I think also, Councilman, the Board of Adjustment is made up of community members, citizens, and the Board of Appeals is made out of professionals.
Okay.
So there are specific requirements for who can be on that board. So I have a very large job ahead of me for appointments.
And looking into it also, we did talk about the opportunity to not just limit it to Blair City Limits, but also because either our building code does extend into our extraterritorial.
Sure.
Those individuals could come from there as well.
Yes. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Having none, do we have a recommendation from the Judiciary and Real Estate Committee?
Mm-hmm. So we met on this and we agree, but once we understood what the differences were between the two boards, we had the exact same questions Brad just had. So it makes sense. The good part is it is business professionals in the industry that are looking at it. And so if they have a disagreement with our you know, inspectors, then they have an out. You know, because things change, buildings change, you know, structures change, building habits change. You know, so this gives the citizens an opportunity for to get their voice heard. So we recommend it. So I'd like to introduce ordinance number 2531.
An ordinance amending chapter 2, article 13, adding article 14, and amending chapter 9, article 2 of the municipal code, the city of Blair by amending chapter 2, article 13, adding section 2-1301 and 2-1303 and 2-1304, adding article 14, section 2-1401, amending chapter 9, article 1, section 9103, in reference to the Board of Appeals, applications for appeal, membership of the board, qualifications, rules and procedures, penal provisions, and the appeal board, repealing all ordinance and parts of ordinance conflict herewith, providing this ordinance to be in full force and effect, and providing for publication this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I move the statutory rule regarding reading the 3 different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on 3 different days be suspended? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye. An ordinance amending Chapter 2, Article 13, adding Article 14, and amending Chapter 9, Article 2 of the Municipal Code of the City of Blair, Nebraska, by amending Chapter 2, Article 13, adding Sections 2-1301, 2-1302, 2-1303, and 2-1304, adding Article 14, Section 2-1401, amending Chapter 9, Article 1, Section 9-103, in reference to the Board of Appeals, applications for appeal, membership of the Board, qualifications, rules, and procedures, the penal provisions, and the appeal board, repealing all ordinance parts of ordinance conflict herewith, providing this ordinance to be full force and effect, providing for publication as ordinance in pamphlet form.
That's it. I move final passage of ordinance number 2531.
Second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall ordinance number 2531, amending the Blair Municipal Code, be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2531 duly adopted. Item number 11, consider resolution number 2024-47, approving an engineering agreement with Olson, Inc. for NPDES permit.
CJ, assistance. You're allowed to bring your assistant up, too.
Mr. Heaton.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So before you, for your consideration tonight, is a agreement with Olson Engineering to assist us with our NPDES permit for the wastewater plant. If you remember, a few months ago, we did something very similar for the water plant side. So each have to have their own permit, which basically allows us to discharge our waste into the Missouri River. The state sets limits on what exactly we're allowed to dump into the river and how much and what potency. And with all the work going on down at the water plant, namely the lime solid project, which is going to take all of this waste that in the past has just been dumped in at random times in large quantities. All the work going on down there is going to take all the waste from the water plant, basically mix it up, dilute it, and meter it into the river at a constant rate. When we met with the state to review these permits, they hadn't taken that into consideration and had based our limits on the old way we have always done things. So we've worked with Olson on the water side. We'd like to have them work on the wastewater side also. There are going to be 2 separate permits, but we're going to try to tie them together as much as possible because one is kind of dependent on the other. So it's our hope. We're working with Olson, who is doing all the design work on the outfall and the lime solids, that we'll be able to make sure that everything is squared away. You know, we're in compliance and that we're all on the same page, using the same number. These will be good for 5 years.
hopefully we don't have a whole lot more changes at the water plant in the next 5 years. And so the next time, it shouldn't be that big of an issue to get these renewed.
CJ, how big is the equalization basin?
That's a good question. I thought it was a couple hundred thousand gallons that would mix into this.
Well, this is definitely better than what we had. I mean, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago when they wanted us to put it in a pond, dry it, and haul it off? Mm-hmm. So way, way better.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm just curious how much space this takes up down there.
I can look up and get back to you on that. I'm not sure the exact amount of gallons. But it's a pretty good-sized structure.
Okay.
So like all the backwash, the overflows, everything leaving the water plant will be mixed in and essentially diluted. And then instead of just 1,000 gallons being dumped into the river at once, this is going to be, I think we said, 500 gallons a minute constant.
And this is part of the deep water discharge project, too.
Correct.
I mean, it's going to be,
yes.
Not going to, you won't see the big white cloud of stuff floating around the boat ramp anymore.
Correct.
Because this is, big improvement. So, I think, again, we always push hard against the state when all of a sudden, that the lime solids haul off project would have doubled water bills or tripled. So this is definitely a much more economical solution. So.
Yeah. And as Phil's mentioned, when we get into these things, we want to make sure that we have our ducks in a row first rather than come back later and say, well, this isn't what we, what we're doing, and have to change it after the fact. So we'll get it done right the first time.
Thank you. Any comments from the public? I believe Water and Sewer Committee did meet alone.
I did meet on this. And we need Olson to make sure that all our paperwork is correct with the state. So if no one has any questions, I will introduce resolution number 2024-47.
Resolution number 2024-47 was introduced by Councilmember Willis, approving an engineering agreement with Olson for NPDES permit assistance.
Make a motion to adopt resolution number 2024-47 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2024-47, approving the engineering agreement with Olson Inc. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 12, consider amendment 01 in the amount of $7,195 to the design and construction document preparation phase of the agreement with Big Muddy Workshop, Inc. for the Blair Dog Park. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is an amendment to the agreement that we have with Big Muddy Workshop already. Previously, the council had approved a work agreement with them to do the design, to do the bidding of the project, and ultimately construction oversight. Those last two items, obviously the dollar amounts that were in this contract would not be spent if we didn't go forward with the project, but on the design side, that's kind of guaranteed. As we looked at preliminary designs, we came to the conclusion that we needed some lighting in the general area for this, especially near the entrance area of the dog park. And so for Big Muddy Workshop then to bring along their electrical engineer sub-consultant and then to incorporate those drawings into their master drawings is this addition of $7,195. Just to kind of bring you up to date on kind of the sequence of where we are on the project, if you were to approve this tonight, I'll get this agreement to them right away. He'll finish up their design work. Thought that would take 2 to 3 weeks. The goal then would be for the full design to go to the park board at their July meeting for their review. Then it would come to the council the second meeting in July, so that fourth Tuesday in July, for you to review the plans, and if you so choose that night to authorize us to go out for bid. Obviously, the ultimate goal is to put this project out for bid so that we can get bids back and find out exactly how much it's really going to cost us. At that point in time, you'll have the opportunity to know at least what the engineer's estimate is and what the bids are for the construction and whether you choose to go forward with this project at that point in time or whether ultimately we decide we don't have the resources to be able to do that. You'll ultimately make that decision at that point in time. It also fits in fairly well with where we would be in the budget cycle. So whether we would decide at that point in time to go forward and try to get part of it done during this current fiscal year or whether we would delay all of it until the next fiscal year, that's something I'll be planning on when we're kind of putting the budget together. But, with the results that we got from the primary election this year and not having the half-cent additional sales tax authorized, it means that ultimately we're going to have some designs done, probably go out for a bid, see what the actual bids are before you can ultimately make that decision whether that's expense that you can spend or not. So at least we'll get the dog park to that stage if you approve this tonight. So, any questions for me?
Thank you. Any comments from the public? Having none.
Okay. We didn't meet on this.
We meant to.
Okay. Council discussion?
I'll move to approve Amendment 1 in the amount of $7,195 for the design and construction document preparation phase of the agreement with Big Muddy Workshop, Inc. for the Blair Dog Park.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve Amendment 01. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple things to bring to your attention. One is we're getting into conference time of the year again, so just want to let you know that some of the staff is going to be off at two different conferences coming up later this week. Actually, starting tomorrow is the finance conference that's down in Lincoln. Some will be going down for the pre-conference, which is just on Wednesday. Then the actual conference is Thursday and half of the day Friday. So we'll have some staff involved with that. And then also the Nebraska City County Management Association's summer conference is coming up next week. That happens to be in York, and so Aaron and I will be attending that conference. And again, that's a Wednesday through Friday for next week. July 5th, wanted to just mention to you, it's kind of a unique opportunity this year. July 5th, as you look at your calendar, is on a Friday. We had numerous staff begin to request the ability to take that day off. It's one of those unique opportunities to have a holiday, take a day off of vacation, and then end up with a four-day weekend. So it got to the point where I started getting a little concerned about do we even have enough staff to keep open. So I talked to the mayor, asked her opinion on whether she was comfortable with departments, if they had everyone in that department willing to take paid time off. So this is not granting of additional holidays or anything like that. If they all wanted to take time off, was she comfortable having certain departments just not open that Friday as well? She gave her authority to be able to do that, so we've been checking with several of our departments, and it looks like the vast majority of them are going to go ahead and take advantage of this situation. So we'll be sending out an email to all of you later on once we get the final list of exactly which departments have requested that time off. In fact, we extended all the extra grace even to the library, because libraries normally open on Saturdays. That really hurts them from getting a four-day weekend, so they've decided to do that staff-wise. So they're, again, not taking an extra holiday. They're taking some of their paid time off, but they would potentially then be closed from the 4th all the way through that weekend, which would be great for them. So appreciate the mayor's willingness to do that. Staff really appreciates it. And again, we'll let all of you know. It will be advertised both at the individual sites with signs on the doors. We'll put something up on the city's website as well, so that the citizens know that. As is typically our custom, we have a budget workshop as we're working through the budgets. Usually that's on the first Monday or something like that in the month of August. But if you recall, we've started to also have fifth Tuesdays this year. Well, it just so happens that July is a fifth Tuesday. So instead of having a special fifth Tuesday night meeting and then having you come back the very next Monday night for the budget workshop, we're going to combine them together. And so just put it on your calendar if you could to make sure that you're going to be here on that fifth Tuesday, July 30th, for the budget workshop. Again, that is open to the public, and so if people would like to attend. And keep in mind, we also historically have that meeting start fairly early, so we'll get the exact time out to you in the next week or so. Finally, I do want to express my appreciation to both our parks and public works employees for all the cleanup that they did following the storm, working diligently, then getting ready for Gateway to the West days, as well as their involvement at Gateway to the West. Looked like it was a great weekend, and the weather turned out really well for that, so appreciate all of their hard work. And finally, to close, number one, I'll ask if you have any questions for me, but then I'm going to have CJ come back up, and I'm going to ask him to give you an update on some of the public works projects that are going on. So any questions for me about?
I don't have any questions for you, but I went to the library after the Gateway meeting today, and Brooke's team had a magician in there for the kids. There was probably 40, 50 kids there.
220 people were at that.
220. Well, they're all little
guys. It's a full place.
And my grandson was there. It was really, really well received, and it was great. And my wife, as our grandson, signed up in all the programs for the summer, and it's just awesome stuff you're doing. Yeah. Thank you.
That's a big hand clap for Winnie Luger, who does all that. So that's her.
Yeah, we got great staff out there too. So, any other questions, comments for me?
I saw they started grinding our
tree pile
storms that we've had. It has gotten significantly larger. I think we should probably look at, and whether it's an emergency situation or not, allowing companies that are working within the city limits of Blair in an emergency situation to be able to dump there, or a lot of them suggested that they have some sort of an annual fee that you just charge them, and instead of you guys going down there and saying, hey, you can't do this, you go down there and you just hand them a bill and say, here, you can do this, but you got to pay this.
Yeah.
So I know you guys spent some time down there, and it seems like if we're going to spend time down there, let's make money on it instead of just threatening.
It is a constant lawsuits. Challenge to try to monitor, because obviously we do allow our citizens to be able to haul there. There are extreme circumstances like this one happens, and some of those contractors are graciously willing to lend their own time and equipment and do things for free. So we seem to constantly going to contractors saying, are you getting paid for this or not? Because if you're not, thank you, you're great. If you are, scoundrel, you're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be dumping it someplace else. And so, yeah, we have had some comments or questions whether we could implement some of that.
Yeah, and that's going to help offset the amount of money it's going to cost to grind all of that. It's going to be very helpful.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. So be working with one of the committees to work on that. So, thank you. And since you mentioned the things down there, I know there have been some questions about the door that got damaged at the recycling center. So we kind of boarded it up right away just to try to take care of that immediate problem. It turned into a longer-term issue, so our staff is working on the temporary cutout that they did on that main door to make that more solid and safe, and something that they can take out and put back in relatively safely, and still open that up on Saturday so that people can drive through the normal entrance. So my staff has assured me that we'll get finished up before this coming Saturday, so Saturday should be normal operations. We're in the process of getting three different quotes from different door contractors with all the construction and damage that's in the area. Several of them have told us it's at least 3 to 4 weeks out before they can get to it with equipment and things like that. So hopefully this temporary door allows us to continue to function for a while, still be able to close up the facility at night, and then we'll get that door replaced as soon as we can. Any other questions?
Just a second to the kudos to the guys out doing the work. I mean, I sat and watched them load and load and load, and it was just a constant stream. And I hope the citizens understand how much work that was and how great a job they did. Even though the streets weren't quite, I'm sure some were like, wait a minute, what happened here? But the guys were moving as fast as they possibly could, and to do it in the amount of time they did was commendable. So thank you, everybody.
CJ, what's my
Phil asked me to put some notes together to just give everybody an update on where we were with all the projects and the funding. We did have some good news on the funding side. I was approached or got a call from the state gentleman that runs the SRF program, so the state revolving fund, the loan fund that used for all of the major infrastructure projects. Remember, or were made aware before I got on, the plan was for some of these projects to take out additional bonds to cover the difference from the SRF funding to the total of the project. Long story short, SRF is going to end up covering the full cost of all of our projects through the state revolving loan fund. So we won't have to be seeking any traditional bonds or bank loans or anything like
awesome.
That.
Yeah.
And I put some slides together to kind of cover cover these. There's a lot on them, so if you have any questions, just stop me and I'll try to answer those. So one of the loans we have covers the water treatment plant equipment. That's about a $3.5 million project. The lime solid separation project in the outfall structure, that's about a $6 million project. And then the intake structure, which actually got completed last week, the last pump went in and that is done. That was about just over $13 million. So a total of $22.7 million. This is an estimate. The current, or the original SRF loan was for $10 million, which we've received 9.5 of that. So we're waiting that last chunk until we get the O&M manuals done and all the projects are done, and then we'll close those out. There's also for the intake a $6 million water security fund grant that the city received. We've used just over $5.5 million of that. Now that that project's done, I'll be able to get the rest of that money reimbursed to cover that project. We were looking to be about $6.7 million short on the funding that we had. With the additional $6 million from the SRF, would be a total of $16 million SRF on this project at 0.1875 interest for 30 years, which you can't find that at any bank.
Mm-hmm. That's 0.18%, right? 0.18%, not 18%. Yes. Okay.
And also on top of that, just over $2 million is considered loan forgiveness. So that'll be taken right off the top. And then you do the math on that, that's what we'll be end up paying back. Right now, it's looking like we'll be about $700,000 short still. So Phil and I have been talking about different ways we can work that into the budget. I don't know if we'd have to go borrow that, or we can find a way to work that in with what we have, but that's something that's going to work out. And that'll be dependent on any change orders or anything that come up through this project. Then the other one, the big one, as I call it, the water treatment plant expansion project. If you remember, it was taking the plant from 20 million gallons of water per day to 27 million gallons per day. That project was estimated to be about $45 million. And this spring, we had about $23 million current funding through SRF. We've used or received just shy of $22 million. There again, we're waiting on the O&M manuals to come in, because the state holds back that last 5% until they get all the paperwork in. So we were looking at being about $22 million short on that project, which I know Rod and I think Al had worked before I came on, that there'd be two different bonds to cover that difference. SRF was, like I said, willing to cover our difference and then some in this case, so we're getting an amendment that'll come before you, hopefully at the next meeting, for an additional $27 million, which would be a total of $50 million SRF loan. Again, the interest of that is 0.581 for 30 years, and just over $8 million of that will be loan forgiveness. So it's very good news. It should end up leaving about $5 million less for change orders or anything unforeseen that comes up. If we don't spend that money, we just don't get it reimbursed. That'll just lower the amount we end up paying back. So there again, no additional bonds or anything should be needed for the water treatment plant project. So like I said, those amendments are being drafted by the state. I know the city's bond attorney is reviewing those. Once we get that all done, hopefully by the next meeting or the one after that, we'll have those for your consideration. We've also been working on the rate study. I know we've met with the Water and Sewer Committee on that. This could change what we ultimately end up doing on the rate study in a positive way.
Yeah, the interest rate being 10 times lower.
Correct. Yeah, so we have sent this to the consultant that did the rate study, and Phil and I will be meeting with him this week or next to kind of retool that. So if anything, any potential increases from the rate study should be drastically lower. Any questions?
So you can't use any of that $5 million to pay off the $700,000?
Different projects, different loans. So,
unfortunately, no.
We apparently are good credit risk as a water company for the state.
And they have a little bit of federal money to get rid of.
Yeah. That helps too.
Yeah, I think what I've seen, what I saw happen in UTN, I think what might have happened here is that some of these towns applied for a project, realized the cost went up even with SRF funding, they couldn't do it, and they put that money back into the pool. SRF comes back around and says, okay, who needs this money? And when I talked to them, they said their goal was to make sure that every project got covered because they didn't want a town getting halfway done with something and then having to basically stop or start all over. So, and then just real quick, we got some notes on some of the projects we have going on. The South Bypass, even with all the weather and delays, they're still, RAM is still anticipating being done. I don't know if it'll be officially open on the 31st, but substantial completion at the 31st. There are some delays that I'll warn you about with the traffic signals. I think you're aware of the ones on Highway 75 with the design. The design is done and we're waiting on the state to review it. Once they get everything approved and we can actually order them, we're being told it's 16 weeks for delivery. The state also let me know last week that they won't be doing a traffic study on an intersection until the bypass is open, because they want to get a good feel for the traffic then. So they had told me in March they were going to do one in April, and that never happened. So it's good and bad. I think Phil and I talked that at least we'll get an accurate representation of the traffic with the bypass open, rather than get a count in April or May with no bypass, and then come back and say we haven't met the warrants, we're going to wait another 6 months. So we're hoping we get it the first time.
And CJ, dumb question, because maybe I misunderstood, but we are opening the bypass with signals on Highway 30, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. There was a snag in the traffic signals on Highway 30.
They can't open the bypass without signals on that, right?
No.
Okay.
We're
four-way stop. Not gonna work.
No.
We're all confident that the ones on Highway 30 we can work around. It's at most maybe a couple weeks delay, if anything, right now. And if I hear anything different, I'll definitely let everybody know. But where the pole on the southwest corner needed to go, Black Hills apparently forgot they had a water line, or not a water line, a gas line, about 18 feet below right where that pole's going to go. So we had to either move our pole, which meant a different mast arm in another 16 weeks, which we said that was unacceptable. So our hope right now is to redesign the footing to go shallower but wider. That's where we might have a couple weeks hang up of just getting that redesign put through. We're working on that. Phil and I both let him know, and I met with Black Hills on site, and they said this is unacceptable. We're not going to leave another 16 weeks to get a road drive on it that is ready to go. But once we have a firm date on that, then Phil and I will work with getting a ribbon cutting and open for the bypass. Just real quick, the water treatment plant projects, so the intake and the equipment replacement pack projects, those are essentially done. The last pump went in the intake last week, and we tested it this week. Everything checked out so far. The expansion, I would say, is about 60% complete. The weather, as you know, in the last month has just been atrocious, so they've been slopping through the mud. The lime solids is about half done. They're working on getting the pit, if you will, for the basin dug out. The outfall structure, that line is all done. So it's just a matter of building, you know, the structure for the equalization basin. All of that, if everything continues as it is, should be done about April of next year. The Cargill water main, if you guys have been, anybody's been down Industrial Drive to see the work going on down there, the big water line laying in the ditch, that was originally scheduled to be done at the end of this month. There were some issues with switching the pipe over the winter and then permitting with the railroad. We've gotten those taken care of. We've had some issues with the contractor staying on task, if you will. They've had a string of bad luck. Also, they hit the existing line to Cargill a few weeks ago, which set them back. They've had equipment failures. So we're looking at probably next week sitting down with them and kind of regrouping. But we are keeping the pressure on them to get that done. The North Bypass, I think it was the last meeting, the council approved the environmental and the preliminary engineering. So those are in the works to get started. And then the same with the River Road Trail. We're a little bit further ahead on that. We met with a group from JEO, some of the state officials in May, and walked the whole site. So the planning should happen between now and next year, and then they're estimating construction in 26. They did let us know that there could be issues with the rail crossings, because Union Pacific says we already have one rail crossing there. They're hesitant to approve another one. So we're trying to work through that with them. If we keep the trail next to the road, we're not necessarily adding two crossings, we're just expanding the one that's already there. So.
Yeah, so there's always already the quiet zone crossing there at River Road. It's the adding of the bike trail, if you will, that they're looking at with some question, and whether they can use that as an excuse to try to make us close another crossing someplace else in town. And so we're still working on those issues. Any questions for either one of us?
How's the Mastic project coming along?
They're coming along slower than I anticipated. Partly they originally planned on closing one lane at a time, and then decided with all the traffic out there they wanted a little more cushion, so they had to go back to the state and get approval for closing two lanes, so that set them back a little bit. That got approved, so they should be moving along now. The mill and overlay is all done. That went really smooth. We got a lot done for a good price, and the contractor said it was the best they've ever had it here, because everything was just laid out in one stretch. Anything else?
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Shane, did you tell the new guy about the thing?
New guy first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
you. The first motion is to adjourn. Motion to adjourn. Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. Please register your vote.
Thanks, James, because I was a new guy until tonight.
Oh. It's not just tonight. It's every time.
You're old guy.
Until.
Election.
Yeah. Until election. Did everybody vote?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
All council members present voting on.
Meeting adjourned.